Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 118th episode of the Manor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Roger Bodie, joined as always with my best friend and other co-host, Michael Hamilton. Michael, it's finally time I can finally put my arm around you in real time for the first time in the history of our friendship. Finally meet face to face.
Yeah, this has never happened before. It definitely doesn't make me any more uncomfortable than it has in the past. It's good to see you. Good to be hanging out.
Yeah, for the first time in Osaka. There's a noise outside our room right now, but you know what? We're just going to roll with it.
Okay, there's only so much you can do.
We're going with it live in Osaka.
And a new land.
Of the rising sun. I'm very tired. I had a very long layover. I had a lot of flight cancellations. It was rough getting here, but I'm here now.
You want to tell your story for all of our listeners?
I had a flight delayed, which made me miss a connection, so then I had to get rebooked. And then the rebook missed my second connection to fly into Osaka. So then I had to take a train ride on the Shinkansen instead, and that took like extra time. And then I had to take multiple like $60, $70 taxi rides in between all these train stations and hotel rooms and things. And then I showed up at like 11:45 last night, and I rang the doorbell, and Michael was sound asleep. So then I had to break into our hotel. I had to scale the walls and climb up. No, I just followed somebody in. But yeah, but I got like 3 hours, 4 hours of sleep, something like that.
That's not a lot of sleep. So the way we're at like an Airbnb, and the way it works is there's like a front area that you have to put in a code to check in. I gave Roger the code. I just got to tell him you have to push the enter key before you put in the code instead of after or instead of some different time. So he had the code, but he couldn't get in because of that.
And then, I don't know how to read Japanese. It makes things harder when you can't read languages that you're in the place of.
Yeah, it does. You do. Reading, being able to read makes it much easier to get around spaces.
Yeah, I watched this YouTube series about education in America and how illiteracy is on the rise. And I was like, I wonder what it'd be like to be illiterate. And then I realized I know exactly what it's like to be illiterate. Every time I go to a country that I don't know the language of it, I'm basically like the same thing as an illiterate person in my home country.
Yeah. Except you're also, I think it's probably a little bit harder because you're dealing with like culture differences from what you were used to as well. So like being illiterate in a space that you've grown up in, you can probably like figure a lot of stuff out. Even if you can't read things, you probably still recognize like common words.
That's been the new way that they've been teaching. That's the reason why literacy is on the rise, is because they didn't teach phonics anymore. They were just trying to teach this method of reading called sight reading, which is you would just like look at a word and know that like that's the word for like train or whatever, but you couldn't sign to like train. You just look at a word and know that's train. So then when you see like a word like onomatopoeia, you have no skills equipped to yourself to know how to like decipher what that word is or like sound it out. And that's why people are like functionally illiterate now.
Yeah, that sounds like, honestly, that sounds like a good thing to do if you're going to be going to like a country for like a week. Just like learning a few common words, like knowing the most, like the 50 most common words you'll see, I feel like would get you a lot of the way in terms of like navigating a strange place. But if you're trying to like completely learn a language, that does not sound useful at all. It sounds horrible.
Well, thankfully, we're not trying to fix the education system in America. We're just trying to learn how to play. We're playing new with the worlds.
Yeah, we're gonna be playing this Mystic Assassin with her brand new card, Count Your Blessings.
I might be playing Count Your Blessings. I might not be playing Count Your Blessings. I'm probably gonna play Count Your Blessings, but I might not play Count Your Blessings. I have a little Tarek Patel devil on the shoulder. I guess we'll put the little angel, the little blessed Michael, to be on my shoulder right now. Say, play Count Your Blessings, new. I have a little Tarek Patel over here telling me the math on Count Your Blessings sucks. Just play traditional new. And I don't know who I want to listen to yet. We'll see.
Yeah, I am a pretty big math person in general. I just think like fundamentally the way that you can play the game when you have this life gain package, you can become more of a like focused on fatigue rather than killing your opponent. I think it opens up a different access to new that she doesn't really have as much access to in the regular version. I know you have been fatiguing a lot of people with no Count Your Blessings new, but it's always close. You always get low and you're like, oh man, am I going to die? But sometimes if you're doing the same thing and then you just ask Count Your Blessings three more times and get a bunch of life, then you're not worried about it anymore.
Yeah. And specifically, this is my fault. I didn't mean for this to happen. But I was playing in the Pro Quest 2 weeks ago, the one that Michael won on Viscerai. But he watched me play new, like traditional new into Count Your Blessings Arachne. And
that's the David.
Like, it was an incredible game. It was one of the best games of Flesh and Blood I played in a long time. I, like, lots of decisions mattered, and we went to, like, a million cycle. And basically, I beat Count Your Blessings Arachne by stripping every last card out of their deck in hand using Use Hero Ability and then Mask Recurring Nightmares. And basically, he had 50 life, but no cards left in deck. So then I just daggered him out of the game, and the game was over. And apparently, Michael witnessing me stripping this last card out of this Arachne's hand inspired him. He's like, no, no more Viscerai. And I'm going to win this tournament, but I'm done with this Viscerai guy. It's time for some changes.
All right. So yeah, let me tell my version of the origin story of this Count Your Blessings new. So I've never liked new. New's never been a hero for me. I hate her weapons. I think daggers are atrocious. They're just like so bad on Ray. They don't do any damage. You can pay 2 resources for 1 damage. That's a bad deal. Tap for Kadachi. Kadachi's already suck. 2 resources for 1 damage. No, thank you. So, I was like, I didn't like new. And then I watched. I guess Roger's been trying to get me to play new for a long time. He's like, I love new. New is like blue white control. I love just all the end games you get into, all the interesting decisions, all the way that like specific cards matter, and trying to like figure out how to get those cards out of your opponent's deck and not die to those cards, like Mordred and stuff. Yeah. So Roger's always liked new. I've never liked new. I think I always thought she kind of sucked. And I've never liked fatigue decks either, because I really like attacking my opponent. I don't like just block, hope. That's my thing. That's not my thing. I feel like most of the best players in the world are going to be able to beat that, and you need to beat the best players in the world to win a world championship. And so I don't like that style of deck. I feel like you take a lot of the agency away from you and give it to your opponent. And like, that's basically why I played Chain at Pro Tour 1 instead of Starbo, is I wanted to be the one making all those decisions in the fatigue games. So I don't like blockout fatigue. And new is not blockout fatigue. New is like, I'm going to take some damage. I'm going to attack you with Persuasive Prognosis. I'm going to attack you with Bonds of Agony. I'm going to attack you with Leave No Witnesses. I'm going to Codex and attack you with Leave No Witnesses. All these things are great. They strip cards from your opponent's hand. They're end of fatigue as well. And I think that's like a really interesting axis that new gets to play on the other fatigue decks. Don't get to. The problem is you don't have a weapon. So how are you fatiguing people with new? Well, you really couldn't. You were just killing them usually. Like sometimes they ran out of cards because they had to block so much stuff, but you're also just killing them. You played like E-Strike, you played Looking for a Scrap, you played Scar for a Scar, you played Razor Reflex, just get them dead. Boom. But what Count Your Blessings does, and why I am now planning to play Count Your Blessings at Worlds and hoping it's good because I've got like a week of testing, is you kind of get rid of all that, where now you have ways to gain a bunch of life. You can gain, I think if you cast all your Count Your Blessings, each one spends a card in deck for 6 life, which is great for fatigue math. And then you also just get to activate your Mask of Recurring Nightmares over and over again, strip cards from them. You get to activate new over and over again, strip cards from them. And one thing that you get is you don't have to kill your opponent by damage. You very commonly can just fatigue people. You can block a decent amount, but not all your cards. You attack with these attacks that banish cards from your opponent's deck. You activate Mask to banish cards from their hand and put the card back in your deck. It's a very fatigue styled deck, but it doesn't feel like blockout fatigue. So anyway, I was playing Viscerai at this ProQuest Roger was talking about. And, you know, I won the ProQuest. I beat 2 news, but actually one of them was Roger in the semifinals and one was our other teammate Raj in the finals. And one thing I noticed was, man, they just block with all their cards. I'm a little bit worried I might draw a brick.
I try blocking with all my cards, and then you never brick.
So sometimes Viscerai draws a brick. But the good news is, even if I did draw like not the best hand, usually you convert your bricks to a little bit of damage. You know, that's kind of Viscerai's thing. And I was able to win both games, and I think Viscerai is at least slightly favored into new. I think that he's fairly resilient to disruption and is does very crazy things on Ray. And when new has to kill you, that's a lot of damage they have to do before you die. you know, you got 40 life. That's a lot of damage you got to do. You got a good bridge. And she doesn't have the defensive capabilities to completely fatigue you usually. Just by blocking out, she'll just eventually die. You'll eventually draw enough damage. So the Nue has to find ways to get the damage through. And that was always, like, in my opinion, why the matchup was pretty good for Viscera. And go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, prior to Count Your Blessings, I was playing cards like Sigil of Solace or Arcane Polarity to gain my life. And I was shown a cool piece of technology a while ago called Eradicate, which was the Majestic from Dynasty, which banishes cards equal to the amount of damage it was dealing. And I think my game against Michael might have been winnable because I did hit him with like Eradicate for 10. I think I banished 10 cards out of his deck and hit a couple Revels. I think I hit one Revel.
I think you had two Revels.
Two Revels. And the problem was I had to take like 20 damage in order to like get those 10 cards out of his deck. And then from there, I was ready to play like Blockout Fatigue style because I have now taken so much of a large chunk and so many of those important power cards and those two Revel of Runebloods out of Michael's deck. It should be hypothetically easier for me to close the game out. He wound up having the Mordred Tide and then casting Become the Arcanite to get the last Revel out of his deck, and I died like two turns later. But if that turn is just like an average or different type of turn cycle where he just presents like more reasonable damage, I think there's a chance I could have turned the corner, potentially won. So the reason why I'm interested in Count Your Blessings is I think the standard build of Count Your Blessings is actually probably maybe favored into Viscerai, assuming, even if they're on Reaping Blade, assuming they're not playing any piece of hate. What I'm worried about isn't Talisman of Cremation. I'm really worried about like Poison the Well technology coming out.
Yeah, Poison the Well is pretty scary. Like I said, I started playing Count Your Blessings about a week ago. So after that tournament, I was like, all right, I'm just playing Viscerai. I won the ProQuest with Viscerai. And I went to sleep that night and I'm like, man, that life gain Arachne deck, that was pretty cool. The Nue endgame is just banishing their cards. Mask of Recurring Nightmares, that's pretty cool. What if we put these ideas together? So I think it was like Tuesday morning. I'm like, can I play Count Your Blessings Fatigue Nue against somebody? And I don't remember who in the Wolfpack I played first, but I played, beat him up.
It was Brody. I think it was Brody, because Brody said, there's no way this deck is good. You can't beat Viscerai.
That's right. That's right. Brody's like, I think you have a 1% chance of beating me. So we play the first game. I have a very rough version of the deck. It's not very good.
It's not even close. He like destroys Brody.
The game wasn't close. I think my version of the deck at that point was not very good. It was my first draft. I had second Tenet of Chi
Tide
and second Tenet of Chi Moon. We had both of them because I was like, I don't know. These seem like the best blues to me. I didn't have Warmonger's Diplomacy in my deck either. I forgot about it. Someone mentioned it in the middle of game 2. I'm like, oh, I should add this. So we played the second game. Brody beat me. It was like a closer game. And he's like, what do you think your chance of winning the matchup is? Like 20%, 30%? And I'm like, I think it's like 70%. I don't know. I know we both played the same games. I won game 1. I didn't have Warmonger's game 2. And I just put 3 Warmonger's in. We played a third one and I won that one. And I'm like, all right, that's great. So that's kind of what made me work on it more, and then I played it into Dio and was able to fatigue Dio. I think I played some games with you. I don't remember what matchup we played.
We played the mirror, and we played 4 times in the mirror. The first time we played the mirror, you ran so hot, you banished like all my good cards. You hit me with a million codexes. I never played into a competent Count Your Blessings new player before, because it's been floating around on Talishar for a while. But thankfully the mirror is like super skill intensive, so against like a random Talishar opponent who's like just trying to like figure out how to play new, I can usually get there pretty easily. But in our matchup, I made a couple mistakes, and it wound up being that I think you beat me by like 1 or 2 cards in deck.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we played again, and then the same thing happened. And then I think I won the one after that, despite being down like 10 life and like 8 or 9 cards in deck at one point.
Yeah, I think there was one point where I had 15 cards in deck and you had 7, and then you just banished all my chi and I died.
Yeah, because the cool thing about the mirror is that if you have a thinner deck, you'll hit your chi more often. So if you're tracking your opponent's pitch, you can just activate your hero ability over and over again. And if they are also not weaving their pitch, like pitching a chi and then like a yellow and then like pitching a chi and then a red, you can just like pitch all your chi, get all their chi out of the deck. And then,
yeah, assuming your life total doesn't matter, which if you're playing Count Your Blessings, it doesn't matter. So yeah, it's a really weird matchup. I think that the new mirror is a matchup that I wish I could play like 100 games of, and then I would feel ready for all the new mirrors at Worlds. Yeah,
unfortunately, it takes like an hour
for each game.
Yeah,
and I hadn't really played like any new before this, basically. It's like when I was working on Bolander, I hadn't really played Icelander. I'm like, this hero sucks and constructed. All of her numbers are so bad. And then I started playing her, and I feel like I'm like in a similar spot with new, where I'm like coming back in from scratch, and it worked the first time. So I'm really hoping it works well again this time. But
yeah, that's kind of what has me interested in the Count Your Blessings, is this feels like a Bolander moment to me in some levels. It's just like, kind of a novel idea. The problem is Bolander also was like a complete secret the first time you took it. And then Michael won a ProQuest on this stupid Count Your Blessings new deck. And then like, everybody on the Wolfpack's getting DMs like, Michael broke the format with Count Your Blessings new. Like Ryan Gottlieb getting DM like, oh no, Michael Hamilton broke Count Your Blessings new. He's going to win world. Like, and I feel like the hype around Count Your Blessings is actually like, or maybe not like hype, but like it's definitely a known quantity.
Yeah. So I think one thing with decks that are like kind of a pretty big secret, like you're going to get a big edge from people not knowing about it. Like it's something that I would be willing to hide at a ProQuest. But I was in New Jersey. I went to New Jersey to hang out with Michael and Brody, do some testing, go play some ProQuest because there weren't any in Indianapolis in that weekend. And I was thinking Thursday night, I had played a couple more games in person with Brody. I played a couple games online with Wolfpack people that morning. And I was like, man, I think I do want to play Count Your Blessings new at the ProQuest. I don't think, because I feel very ready. I could play Viscerai this weekend and feel pretty good about it. And if I think there's still like a 1-2% chance I do that. I said 10-20% yesterday, and then it's been going back down. But I think that for the ProQuest last weekend, I felt like if I wanted to play new at Worlds and I played Viscerai at the ProQuest, I would be missing out on a lot of really important reps and like experiences to learn new and really get a chance to practice new. And I thought that if I played Viscerai at Worlds, I don't think I would miss that one day of not playing Viscerai at ProQuest that much. I feel like I know most of Viscerai's matchups pretty well. I kind of know what's important. I know all the sequencing with the deck, or at least know how to do the math to figure it out. And that's why I still like Viscerai, is the sequencing is a lot more complicated than like KO, for example, which is a deck that I played a lot of and did not like very much. But I figured that I would miss the reps of not playing new a lot if I didn't play new at the ProQuest, and I would not miss them as Viscerai. And I thought that was worth the potential like chance of people learning about Count Your Blessings new, because the alternative is I play Viscerai and I'm just locked out of playing new at Worlds. So play new at the ProQuest, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to O2 and die to Raid of Enigmas and stuff. And then I win the first four rounds against various decks. I play against Brody in round five on Geo, and I made a couple mistakes that game. He both drew and played well, as well as Brody does. He plays well a lot. And he ended up killing me pretty comfortably with like 15 to 20 cards left in deck, which is a lot compared to what
Dio. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever lost a game to Dio in a while.
Yeah, so I learned a lot from that game, though. I cast my first Warmongers on a turn where it wasn't very disruptive. There were no Cerebellums in play. I just felt like it wasn't a very good use of the card, and I made a few other mistakes as well. Like, then we went on to top eight. I remember being quite happy because Michael Fung was there playing Enigma, and he was on Brody's side of the bracket, and I'm like, okay, great. I don't have to play. I'm on the opposite side of Brody because we played in the last round of Swiss, and Michael Fung was on Brody's side. So I'm like, okay, hopefully Brody beats Michael, and then I get to play Brody in the finals if everything goes well. And my first two rounds, I win, and then I'm sitting there watching Brody versus Michael's game. And I look at life totals, and Brody's at like 30 life, 32, like pretty healthy. Like, you know, he starts 36. Michael, like, hit him with a spectral shield or something a couple times. You don't really hit him when you're trying to fatigue against Enigma. And Michael, on the other hand, is playing this Enigma deck, and he's blocking. He's setting up his ward auras, and Brody takes a big off turn. And Michael puts like three ward into play and a truce. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. And then Brody's next turn, he attacks a little bit, pops the truce. Michael blocks with a couple cards. And then he like sets up a Teclo Pounder or something. I don't remember what the item was. He sets up some items and passes it. And Michael makes another truce. And I'm like, uh-oh. This might be over. So I watch a few more turns, and this game was similarly not close to the other game, but this time Michael ends the game at like 20 life with Brody with no cards in deck. I'm just like, wow. And so I'm playing against Michael in the finals, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to lose this matchup. It's going to be horrible, and maybe I'll just go play Viscerite. Viscerite's pretty good in the Enigma. And play against Michael in the finals, and some weird stuff's happening. He gets two mirror guys out. I somehow clear him still at like 20-some life, and then we can both play a couple turns where we don't do that much. I cast Count Your Blessings. I get back up to 40, and then he plays like Restless with three counters on it from Astral Etchings on the Spectral Shield, and I go looking for Scrap and clear that and cast another Count Your Blessings. And I'm like, wait, I'm like 30 something life, and I've dealt with two mirror guys, dealt with two Restless Coalescences, a couple other things, and we play a few more turns and he's chipping me down a little bit, and then I attack with Bonds of Agony and he blocks with two reds, and I have a couple reactions. I pump it up, look at his hand, I've got another red and a Phantasmoclasm in it, and I take the Phantasmoclasm and I'm like, wait, that's like his main way of dealing damage to me. So I take all the Phantasmoclasm out of his deck. And I look through his deck. It's untimed round, so I kind of am like, hey, I'm going to take a minute, try to figure out what your arsenal is. I realize it's a Rage Specter, and he's got a red Astral Edge. He's the last card in hand. I'm like, wait, you just have to IP that card. So I think that turn might have been the nail in the coffin, but after that, I kind of just, like, ran away with the game. I think he got me down to, like, 6 or 7 at one point, but it was because I took a bunch of damage, cast a Count Your Blessings, and gained my life back. But, yeah, at that point, I'm like, maybe I am going to just play New at Worlds. I kind of went back and forth in my head a few times and decided that, yeah, I want to play Count Your Blessings New.
Yeah. I was astonished that he beat Michael Fung, because I've been playing a lot of New versus Michael Fung, and I think I'm like 0-15. it's not been a good time playing against Michael Fung on Enigma on New. On traditional lists, I have not played Count Your Blessings New into Enigma yet. That's kind of like my one matchup gap at this point. I feel pretty good pretty much everywhere else on the matchup because I know pretty much how it goes. And I think I get the theory based on what Michael was talking about, because what's appealing about Count Your Blessings overall, also against decks like Viscerai, is that there are those really big power spike turns against decks. Like Aurora has Arc Lightning combos where she can prevent like 30 plus damage, and Viscerai has the Mordred Tide Revel turns. Enigma has the Chi Mirror Guy turns. So there's just turns where your opponent's pushing a lot of damage all at once. And if your hand only blocks like 12, you're going to be taking 20, 30 damage sometimes on these turn cycles. And then you repeat that over the course of the game, like 2 or 3 more times, take a little chip damage here or there, you lose the game, despite like trying to implement like your fatigue strategy or banish a bunch of cards out of their deck. Count Your Blessings basically says, okay, we're going to pre-refund you or buffer that life against those big power spike turns, so that when those big power spike turns come up, you are cushioned, and then you can kind of keep playing the game. And then if you block 12 on the power spike turn, take 20, it doesn't matter if you've gained 15 life from your Count the Blessings, it's still only net 5 life you've lost in this hypothetical scenario I'm taking. So basically, the Count Your Blessings gives you that cushion to better deal with these high power synergy spike turns that these decks are presenting, and it makes sense why, as long as you are still playing a proactive game plan most of the time against Enigma, clearing your board like Michael was talking about, that the Count Your Blessings deck could actually be reasonable into Enigma, because that was the issue I was running into, where basically we'd be at like 30 life the entire game. Eventually they'd resolve a Mirror Guy and a Restless Coalescence. I'd have to take like 15 damage in order to say no blocks. Yeah, I have to keep my whole hand in order to clear your board. I have to clear this or else I lose the game. And then they'd be like, okay, I lose my board. Here's another Mirror Guy. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I have to take like another like 10 damage in order to clear this Mirror Guy. And I can see how basically the Count Your Blessings and giving your life back from those turns cycles could be really impactful.
Yeah, because if you do that, let's say Enigma has 4 power turns. They have 2 Spectral Restless, they have 1 Chi Mirror Guy from the hat, and they have 1 Natural Mirror Guy, because the games go long and they're likely to find this kind of stuff. And you do that 4 times, you don't have any life left. And that's not even counting when they're going to be attacking you with like CNCs and Phantasmoclasms and stuff. So Count Your Blessings does just give you the life to be able to take that when you need to.
Yeah, so that makes sense. The thing that is making me most apprehensive is, since, you know, Michael won the ProQuest and people are talking about it, is basically poison the well. I don't really think restless cremation matters that much, because
talisman of cremation.
Yeah, sorry. The talisman of cremation, where we've had Viscerai players kind of look at that piece of technology saying, like, oh, well, like, I can play Rattlebones and then pop my talisman of cremation. And I don't think I've ever seen that line up in any of the testing games at any point in time. And it's looked really bad. And even if my opponent is like having a deck where they can more consistently play things out of banish, like a Vincent or Zen. Yeah, or something like that. It's annoying because your count your blessings become less efficient and you're gaining less life overall. But ultimately, you don't need the max ceiling of the count your blessings in order to buffer out in those matchups usually. Like, you just need to be gaining a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on how the game is going. Some games you will need the max amount. Your opponent just like has good draws, or you don't block very well, or your disruption just doesn't line up very well, and you're just like dying. If you aren't gaining a lot of life, then you'll probably lose those games. But it's like, there's definitely some games that are like, things are just going well for you, and like, if you lose 3 Counting of Blessings or 4 Counting of Blessings from your discard, you're still just going to have enough life.
Yeah. But what's terrifying is like casting like Count Your Blessings when you have like 6 of them in the bin, and then your opponent goes Poison the Well. And then instead of gaining your 7 life or 7 plus life or whatever, you then lose that much life. I feel like that can just be game over on the spot sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I'm also worried about that. I think New specifically has more tools to play around it than other Count Your Blessings decks. For example, if you attack with Sirenfall, I have no arsenal. You see, you either take their Poison the Well or they cast in response. Then now you know the closest.
Yeah, you should not cut Siren's Call on your new deck then, huh?
I do like Siren's Call quite a bit. I also think that a lot of the time the common play patterns are you want to arsenal Poison the Well, you're sitting on it, you're waiting, and then New is very good at attacking the arsenal. We have 3 Leave No Witnesses, we have 3 Command Conquerors, and we have 3 Codexes to get back to Leave No Witnesses usually, and also sometimes we get 3 resources to attack CNC where we attack in that arsenal. So if Poison the Well sitting in there for a few turns, like, it's going to be kind of hard to defend it, and if you're blocking too much to defend it, then maybe we just, if we can read or expect it to be a Poison the Well, we can play in ways where we just don't have to cast a Count Your Blessings.
And if they're pitching it, you can just track your opponent's pitch.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I think New has more counterplay to Poison the Well than most decks, but that said, I haven't tested into it enough to feel strongly.
You didn't even say the cheekiest way we have around Poison the Well.
It's homage to the ancestors.
Homage to the ancestors. Yeah. So you play your Count Your Blessings and they go Poison the Well, and you say, I'll gain 1 life.
Yeah, and if it's blue Count Your Blessings, you to transcend. That's just the dream.
Yeah, that's the, then they're just fully juiced. So I need to come around. Well, there's a couple slots that I really need to figure out. I was just talking about Siren's Call. It was a card that maybe I've just been having too much negative variance with lately, because it's a card I just have been less and less and less happy with. But the new piece of technology that has been really working out well for me is Intimate Inducement. And this was basically Sam Dando from Minmax put out like a deck list, and he had a really innovative way of looking at New, which was something I was looking at. Like, if we look at that ProQuest 2 weeks ago, I was playing a really different innovative list of New. It was like Contract New. So I was had things like even like Mask of Perdition and things like that in my list in order to like really take advantage of like the contract elements. Cut to the Chase.
The Chase,
yeah. Yeah, it was like an attack reaction I was playing in that deck. And because I just felt like the traditional versions of stock New were really struggling in the current meta. I think if you took New from like 2 or 3 months ago and just try to jam it in this meta, I think it's not good at all.
Because, like the Amsterdam Pro Tour list.
Yeah. Like, I think you are pretty significantly unfavored into Enigma still with those decks. Like, I don't think it's like horrible still, but I still think it's probably a negative matchup. And I think you just get dunked on by Viscerai, because Viscerai is just a deck that has those really huge power spike turns and is really good at playing through disruption, really good at preventing your disruption, and just has a lot of tools to really just like dance around the game that like traditional New wants to play. And so, given that those old lists were struggling so much, I've been really trying to, like I say, innovate, taking new approaches to the deck, pieces of technology that people either had, like Eradicate. But Sam had blue Intimate Inducements in his list.
Yep.
And I see why you would want blue intimate inducement and like in a vacuum because it's a blue and you get to transcend off of it and it's a blue three block.
Pretty good.
Problem is, it's horrendous in the mirror. I think if you run blue, like if I see my opponent has blue intimate inducement in the mirror, I get excited. I'm like, I'm going to win this endgame so easily. I'm going to cast, you just banish it and then wait for the endgame. And then like, I don't even have to work. I don't have to do anything. I just get to pick a free chi out of your deck in an endgame. That's so good.
That's interesting.
Like blue intimate inducement, I think is like game losing in the mirror. And you already have six blues you need to cut in the mirror between levels of enlightenment and surgical extraction. You can't run those. Sometimes my opponents will leave in surgical. Those are the freest new mirrors. If your new opponent ever leaves in surgical, you get to an endgame and you get to start attacking them with surgicals for free. That's real good.
Yeah, surgical extraction is a really good card. I haven't played a lot with this card. Like I said, I've never been an assassin believer. Man, casting surgical extraction, one floating, two cards in hand. Like, I feel like your opponent just is like, dang, how do I win?
Yeah. Yeah. Surgical, good card. And so I'm looking to red. And what red is really interesting also doing is it digs for those power cards that I was talking about that set up for these high spike synergy turns. So if you cast like red intimate inducement against an Enigma and you find a mirror guy, sweet. That's you don't have to deal with that mirror guy. You cast it against Viscerai and you take their Mordrotide out of their deck, but sure, they're blocking your blue bonds of agony or whatever that you're attacking. So like you'll take that because you want that high power card. And then other times you'll look at their next four cards and it'll be like red, 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 blue. And you just say, okay, I'll take this one blue. And their fourth card now has to be a blue or they have a horrible turn cycle. And then they'll draw their hand and they'll pitch like three reds and then pass. And you're like, okay, sweet, this is amazing. And it's just a card that I feel looks horrible on paper. Like on paper, you just look at the rate. You're like, this is a red and I'm giving an attack plus one and I'm taking one potential card out of my opponent's deck. And sometimes it'll even block my attack still. This is not what I want to be doing.
Yeah, a lot of the time you're giving the attack minus two.
Yeah, like this is not what I want to be doing. But it's just because, like Michael was saying earlier, new is operating on access that doesn't necessarily care about dealing the damage to your opponent. You're fighting over these very particular card and turn cycle interactions that you want to be winning. And since you're looking at it from that front, cards like red intimate juice may come a lot more appealing. The problem is fitting all of these count your blessings, intimate inducements, sirens, calls, attacks, equipment, all this stuff in the same deck. Really hard.
Yeah, because we also want the hisses and the venomous bites, so we have all the tricks. We have the just the nix in there.
Some sync blows, some fate for scenes.
Some D-reacts, of course. We're a fatigue deck. Gotta have some D-reacts.
It's a lot you gotta fit in this. You still have to play at least 15 one power attacks, I think, is like the minimum that I want to be playing because I'm still playing just the nix. So there's just a lot going on in this deck list that's like really hard to fit it all in.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced we need all the way of 15. It's just like the problem is the deck wants a lot of blues. We need blues to turn on our transcend cards. We need the blue attacks because blue attack into transcend into mask is a very common playline, and you can't do that if you don't have a blue attack.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we're gonna do once we turn off this podcast is figure out the rest of what. Our 80 is probably not going to be exactly similar because I think despite me ranting and raving about it for about a week now, or whenever Sam's decklist came out, nobody has listened to me about red intimate inducement, but I'm a big believer in it. So I think Michael and I's cards will probably be like three or four cards off, but we got to figure the rest of that out today.
Yeah. And this has been like, it's been kind of interesting because this leading up to this tournament, I was like, I want to be more open about what we're playing. And now I'm like, here's a brand new deck that I didn't talk about for the month or so leading up to this event. But I do want to stress that this deck literally came into existence like a week ago.
Yeah, like I think you winning the ProQuest, if anything else, proves, right, like you weren't hiding the information. Because if you were actively trying to hide the information, why would he go and win a ProQuest or a pro tour that you were already qualified for because you won a pro quest like a week prior on
Viscerai, which was what I was planning to play at Worlds during that pro quest.
So it was just this weird happenstance that wound up breaking out this way. But, you know, that's just life sometimes.
Yeah, yep, that's how it is. And I really hope this deck's good, because I feel like if we both go like 0-3, we're going to look kind of silly next week when we're recording.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. It wouldn't be the first time I 0-3 to major.
No comments.
Well, it's going to be a shorter episode this week, so I think I'm about to wrap this up now. Do you have any final thoughts on Count Your Blessings new here in Osaka?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next, how many hours do we have before we
have to go to the banquet in like, what, 7 hours?
No, it's not 7 hours. Is this the clock right? Is it 8:27?
I think so, yeah.
So the banquet starts at 5, or the doors open at 5 p.m. for, I don't actually know if it's a banquet. I don't know if they ever said they were
fighting. It's a banquet. Yeah, there's a thing there yesterday or the day before. There's a little schedule of events that came out.
Yeah, I know there's an event at the convention center, but did they ever say there was food? I know there's the keynote presentation.
Oh, that's a good point.
So we might want to eat before that if they don't say something. I don't know. We'll see.
But, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun the last week pivoting to this deck. Oh, one thing I didn't mention was I was just dying to deals with Viscerai, so that's part of why I wanted to not play Viscerai.
Yeah, I think that testing got very inbred, but that's what it is. You're like, I can't beat Dissolution Sphere, and I was like, okay.
I don't know. So, yeah. I'm happy to play a new deck. I like playing spicy things, and it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, even if it doesn't go the best.
Well, the next time you're counting your blessings, always remember, mind your manners. Thanks for watching.